This conference will now be recorded.
I'd like to introduce Terry Hill. Terry is the Executive Director at the National Rural Health Resource Center here in Duluth, Minnesota. And Terry is going to be facilitating today's performance management group call on leadership and balanced scorecard development.
Thank you, Leslie, and good morning, everyone. This is a topic that's really close to my heart. Leadership is such a fundamental part of strategic progress, performance improvement on the part of rural hospitals, et cetera, that we think this is something that is very exciting. And one of the things that I've discovered working in the Mississippi Delta for the last, it's almost 13, 14 years, is there's some really terrific leadership in the Delta region. I work all over the country, and some of the best hospital leaders in the country I find in this region. We are going to do a profile of projects that were actually performed in Pinckneyville Community Hospital, which is in Illinois. It's a 25-bed critical access hospital. And the folks we have on the phone today are Tom Hudgens, who's the CEO, and Kara Jo Carson. I can tell you, this is a pretty extraordinary hospital, and I think you're going to be really impressed with kind of the example that they are setting, their experience in terms of implementing these various initiatives, and particularly the results, because everything needs to be outcome-oriented these days. So Tom and Kara Jo are with us, and we'll be talking to them shortly. On these performance management group calls, we generally have hospital folks talking about their experience, but then we'll also bring in somebody who has worked with these hospitals as a consultant in our RHBI program. So this our RHBI program, is, as I mentioned, has been basically existing for 13 to 14 years. We're funded by the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy, so I need to acknowledge that we're extremely proud of this program, and we're also proud of the hospitals and the consultants that we work with. Scott Goodspeed is somebody that I've known for years, somebody that I have a great deal of respect for. Scott has primary responsibility for thought leadership and advisory services at iVantage Health Analytics, and he does a lot of presentations. Scott and I have worked together and working with hospitals over the years. Scott has had on-the-ground experience. He's been president and CEO of four hospitals, which always helps. He's particularly good at translating data and information into actionable solutions. He's a nationally recognized speaker, over 200 presentations. Scott speaks all over the country, basically, so we're really fortunate to have him here. His book is Community Stewardship, Applying the Five Principles of Contemporary Governance, published by the American Hospital Publishing. And he's currently writing a second book, Winning Healthcare Analytics, the New Discipline of Improving Outcomes. Scott received his doctorate in health administration and leadership from the Medical University of South Carolina, and his master's in hospital administration from the University of Minnesota. So that's kind of the folks on the call. We have an agenda that kind of is, I think, has been mailed out, and let's get going with conversations. I think I'm going to ask Scott first. Scott, as you travel around the country and as you have worked with health leaders virtually in every state, just about, what are some of the challenges that you're seeing right now? Why is this time perhaps more challenging, and what are you experiencing in terms of leadership challenges?
Hey, Terry, thanks for that kind introduction. Let me also just say it was such a pleasure to work with Tom and Kara Jo on this assignment. But as Terry mentioned, I'm usually on a plane every week and traveling, but some of the leadership challenges that we're seeing in small community hospitals relate to four or five kind of broad categories. The first is you know, where are we today? Where are we going to be tomorrow? And what's our strategy? And how do we get there? So it's just making a decision strategically about our preferred future. And then in that context, you know, there's always opportunities related to governance and the board to make sure that there's alignment and collective thinking and that everybody is headed in the same direction. And I think one of the things you'll hear Kara, Joe, and Tom talk about is we actually had two board retreats, but they also, which was a little bit different and very positive, involved their leadership team. We're also hearing, Terry, across the United States, quality issues, particularly related to low numbers and how that may potentially in the future impact a value-based purchasing incentive score. We know that critical access hospitals are now exempt from that, but you know, that's a concern moving forward. A lot of people are talking about affiliation and you know, how do we maintain our independence? Do we affiliate? Do we even consider consolidation? And what was interesting, I was speaking at a conference about a month ago in Milwaukee, and the 9 years I've been doing this, I only recommended one time that a small community hospital consolidate and merge, because I think there are lots of opportunities to stay independent. You know, the two other things that typically come up relate to culture, and Tom and Kara Joe at Pinckneyville did a cultural assessment, you know, with the kind of thoughts about does our culture, does our style, do our behaviors facilitate execution of our strategy? And they found some very, very interesting things. And I have to say that that's kind of thinking is a little more progressive than most. And then everybody's worried about financially small rural community hospitals' future and what's going to happen with reimbursement, because there's a sequester plan in place. There's a lot of look at cost-based reimbursement, focusing specifically on critical access hospitals. So that's always an issue that comes up.
Scott, let's talk about the challenges the boards are having at this particular point. So we have community members actually now serving on hospital boards as they have traditionally. And the complexity of the industry has grown so much more acute in recent years. Talk a little bit about challenges you see in board members and how they can understand this. And are there any thoughts on how we can enhance their awareness and their understanding?
Yeah, and Terry, you spend probably as much time with boards of trustees as I do, but I probably spend a third of my time on the governance side. And there are some consistent things that come up in terms of what boards need to be thinking about. And the first is a understanding of what I call current reality. Where are we today? Where are we strategically? Where are we internally in terms of how we perform internally in terms of the operations? And how does those two perspectives let us fare within the marketplace, which could be a very competitive marketplace. The other thing, I'm seeing less and less board members get involved in the day-to-day operations. So that's the good news. But I'm also seeing boards of trustees, and I think that you may hear this with Pinckneyville, when we went through the strategic planning process, they actually came up with four strategic themes, and at both of the retreats, the board of Pinckneyville spent their time actually walking through, discussing, debating those four strategic plans themes. So those become the content for the board agenda. So one of the things that I find generally is those boards of trustees that focus more on strategy and pushing the organization forward, less participation on the operation side, and let the executive team do what they need to do. That leads to success. The other thing, governance challenge, relates to the medical staff and you know, how much board participation by the you know, elective medical staff, especially the board president, maybe the vice president, should there be, and we're seeing more and more participation by physicians in the governance with a focus on doing what's in the best interest of the hospital versus a individual practice or a set a set of practices. So I'm seeing boards that are more strategy focused, boards that are more sensitive to what's going on in the environment, both locally as well as nationally, and spending more time on this preferred future thing, if you will, pushing the organization forward.
Thanks, Scott. Let's turn to Tom Hudgens and Kara Jo Carson. What sort of challenges is your hospital facing? Are they consistent with what Scott's been talking about? Kind of in your own words, could you talk to us a little bit about kind of the challenges that you're encountering as a critical access hospital at the moment?
Sure. I think Scott's kind of hit the multiple nails on the head, and we're going to have to keep pounding on nails for quite a while, I'm afraid. But I think one of the things that really got to us was, you know, looking at the accelerating pace of change, and there was so much out there that was coming from different directions, hitting the board, the medical staff here, the staff that are trying to take care of things on a day-to-day basis. I think we saw this as an opportunity to try and pull that into one piece that everybody could take a look at and collectively get our hands around it to look at the future. I think it's helped us define roles a little better. The discussion about the board becoming more of the providing oversight and setting policy and direction, and not getting into the how are you going to get from point A to point B. I use a basketball analogy. You can diagram a fast break, and if you're lucky, you'll run it once in a game. The rest of the time, it's got to happen on the fly. And you've got to have people comfortable in their roles to know that you know, we're looking for a particular end result. And as long as we keep it inside the lines, how we get there is less of a concern than doing what we need to do to maintain our presence for the community for the future. You know, there's a lot of pressure right now coming from various areas on rural as you look at, you know, how we're being financed and some perceptions that I think are grossly out of line, that we're being favored in our rural areas, when in fact, if a lot of us go away, it's going to have a dramatic negative impact on an awful lot of lives. And if we're supposed to be looking at population health management for the future, you know, we've got to be able in our organization to work collectively to deal with what needs to happen for the community. And I think this particular process with Scott coming in, and as he indicated, he came back for a second round with us that I think really helped carry things a little bit further in terms of helping people understand a little more about what's going on and some of the directions we need to be going. I guess it's one thing for us to sit here on our side of the fence and convey that message in the face of everything from the outside, but I think Scott did a really nice job of coming in and providing that outside perspective about this that helped us solidify both the leadership group here at the hospital and the board. And for the first time I've been here, we actually had a joint session where they sat down and had a chance to talk over some of the things that we're facing. So it's been interesting to this point. I think the management team has, and I'm not just talking about Kara and I'm talking about the folks that are out there in the departments, even down to the staff that are out there on a day-to-day basis, are taking a greater sense of ownership of where we're at and what we can do for the future.
Tom, you know, one of the things we do in this project, we've learned over the years, and Bethany Adams and Rhonda Barkas are staff in the field, and they are very careful to be very clear upfront. What are we trying to accomplish with the consultations, with the education, et cetera, that we provide here? As you went into this project, this leadership and balance scorecard project, what were you trying to accomplish? What were the outcomes that you were looking for?
I think one of the key things was just getting the leadership team to understand one another, feel more comfortable working with one another. I think that has been kind of the tremendous benefit that we've gotten from this project, is that we understand each other better, we know how to communicate and work together as a team. And, you know, when we went out there looking for, you know, this opportunity and seeking out consultants, you know, the most important thing that you can have is, as Mr. Hudgens said, you can have that, we can convey that message internally, but having someone from the outside giving you that encouragement, knowing you're going in the right direction, kind of being the cheerleader, so to speak, coming back, letting us know what we've been doing good, what's been working well, and then where do we need to continue to improve on. That's been very positive through this whole process.
One of the interesting things that came out of this, we did a little analysis of leadership styles. And as people started going through and talking about where they came out on this little analysis, I think it was kind of one of those things people looked around and started going, yeah, you are one of those, aren't you? Mm-hmm. And as Kara said, it kind of opened up a new level of comfort, understanding. They could joke with each other about their styles. And I think it has helped since that point in time for them to understand, you know, I fell into the leadership group, big surprise, that some of them now understand if they've got a point to make, come in and make it. It works a lot better with me. And I understand now that a couple of them surprised me with the styles they came back with as their lead style. I think it has helped me too, with how I try and communicate back with those individuals. And I think it's shown up not just within the group, but I think it's also showing up in what's going on inside the hospital. I think they're beginning to look at the staff they work with on a day-to-day basis and maybe understand a little better how to communicate to one person as opposed to another one to get a particular message across. It's been fun to watch it evolve. And like I said, the sense of ownership that's growing throughout the entire organization right now.
Hey Terry, it's Scott. They completed some very specific things that were process related and that were outcome related that is very impressive. First of all, they completed a market assessment, 2 days of interviews, combined the two, and came up with a strategy for the organization. So they actually came up with a 3-year strategic plan. As I mentioned earlier, and Tom had touched on this, they did a cultural assessment to find out how they're positioned to execute strategy. Very, very impressive. When I was back there in May of this year, they also had a set of anticipated outcomes related to some very specific metrics for quality and customer service and growth in provider relations and financial health. So, I mean, not only were they expert in terms of some of the process things that they did, but, you know, they're also measuring some very specific outcomes. And I think that, you know, they probably would share with you, they've seen some changes in behavior as well as financial performance, all really good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, it's stressing this. I mean, we can work. You know, I always look at things from an upstream, downstream standpoint, and we want to have good outcomes downstream. But the work upstream with leadership and management is absolutely crucial. And in fact, a lot of the good work done downstream goes to waste if the work isn't done upstream and there's not specific strategies and we haven't set out our goals and kind of charted a path kind of moving forward. So what I've also heard is we're looking for specific financial outcomes, quality outcomes, staff satisfaction outcomes, improvement in communication, et cetera. And we'll talk a little bit more about outcomes in just a few minutes as well. So the leadership work apparently seems to be very successful. Again, what we see when we look at the most successful hospitals in the country, because part of our role here at the center is to try to identify what are the critical variables that bring hospitals to financial and quality success, et cetera, we find that the leadership piece is always necessary And so I just want to put that out there, that in essence, that we just see this over and over and over again, that when you do the work on the front end, if you improve that communication, et cetera, it shows up in the financial and the quality outcomes on the back end as well. Let's talk just a little bit about the balanced scorecard. Scott and I have done work together actually teaching the balanced scorecard. Our organization has been doing balanced scorecard for, gosh, it's been at least 8 or 9 years. Scott, I can't even remember how long it's been. Talk a little bit about how the balanced scorecard was kind of incorporated into this initiative.
What I think it's probably more important if you hear from Kara, Joe, and Tom, but kind of the fundamentals here were, let's complete a market assessment so we understand what's going on. Let's gain agreement among the executive team, and department directors were involved in this, as well as the board, to come up with some key specific themes. And then let's figure out how we're going to measure those things strategically. We also drafted a strategy map for the organization, and it's their one-page depiction of their future. And kind of the metrics that they use are their custom balanced scorecard. So they meet on their metrics, they talk about their financial statements, they talk about their quality performance, they talk about those things that are strategically relevant. So they're using a kind of the template of the balanced scorecard as part of their leadership initiative.
Yeah. And Tom, what kind of motivated you to consider using the balanced scorecard?
I think it gives you a tool that sustains itself over time, that everybody in your organization can buy into, and I think you can even translate it so that the community can understand what's going on and why you're heading in a particular direction you're going. And I think we're seeing some improved feedback out of the community. We've gone through some challenging times a number of years back with some things we had to do with making sure the organization would be viable for the future that weren't terribly popular. But I think as time has gone on and the community has seen the results of what we've been doing, we've been improving the viability of the hospital going forward. Fiscal year just ended. We beat operating budget by $500,000, which I think surprised both Kara and I. In hindsight, looking back at it, maybe it wasn't as big a surprise as we took it to be, but a lot of that goes back to the managers. They've been meeting on a regular basis, going over the items Scott has talked about, all of which dovetail back into, you know, how are we performing as an organization? How do we look against the rest of the world? And I think it's setting a really strong foundation for the future. We're very close to breaking ground for a replacement facility, which is going to be even more of a challenge going forward in the environment we're in. And I think the ability to take everything we've pulled together with the various groups, make that information, you know, as public as we can, and we're seeing, you know, patient response to some of the things we're doing that is positive both on the inpatient and the outpatient side. And I think as time goes on, you know, Scott was talking about what the future holds. And I think, you know, alignments are maybe the big piece for the future as opposed to acquisition or consolidation. And if those of us in rural areas can identify that, you know, we've got a niche we occupy and we are very good at it, as these alignments develop, particularly if we get deeper into population health management, that those of us in rural areas, I think, are going to surprise people with the value we bring to the table.
And the balanced scorecard approach, I mean, it helped us stay focused. You know, you focus on those key areas, quality and market and financial performance and your culture inside your hospital, and then how you're portrayed out in the community. And with getting the leadership team to think about that and share those ideas with their staff members, just what we've been able to grow out of that. I mean, We had volunteers to participate in a community education program, and that has just grown by leaps and bounds this last year. We're doing more programs out in the public. More of the staff are volunteering and becoming a part of those, and they find that they really enjoy getting out there and doing those things. So it's not like it's actually work. You know, they're getting out and enjoying themselves as well. And that's really helped with our image in the community as well. They're seeing us out there. And, you know, we've grown things like our CQI champions to improve revenue cycle and registration accuracy. We basically, you know, took staff members and asked them, you know, who wants to volunteer to lead this? And, you know, they're out there on the front lines. They know what's going on. We gave them, this is what we want to achieve. Work together as a group and a team to figure out how to do that. And they just made wonderful leaps and bounds improvement. And it was working a lot better than us doing it top down, saying, this is what we want. You know, we want you to do this. And it worked a lot better just saying, this is the end product. You guys work through all the nuts and bolts and get that achieved. Same thing with our case management and improving our swing bed referrals. You know, they saw the need out there to go and increase the communication with the local hospitals and our patients that, you know, are transferred out of our ER to talk with them, talk to the case managers in the other hospitals where they went to and improve that communication and get those patients back here for the care that we can provide them locally. And I think just looking at those successes in those programs has just really been a tremendous achievement over this last year to see what our staff has been able to do.
You know,
I was going to say one of the things that kind of surprised us is, you know, we were working through on this, and this may be the forest and the trees comparison. You know, we really internally didn't think we'd gained a whole lot of ground on anything until we sat down and started shipping our information in, and then we get a phone call back that kind of went to go over what we had turned in. And I guess that outside perspective of looking at it, it was indicated to us that we had actually gained a tremendous amount of ground compared to everything else they had seen, and that, you know, we were further down the road than we believed. And then, like I say, that was a pleasant surprise for the lead, the executive group that was in on that phone call, to hear that come back to us, that the efforts that were going on here collectively actually had gained a significant amount of ground compared to what else they'd seen in the past. And when we were able to share that back with the rest of the managers in here, even down to the staff that are a part of this, as Kara said, on this project and other things they're getting into, that kind of positive feedback had a really significant impact on folks.
Yeah, I think that was a key turning point in this too, when we had that conference call with Rhonda. And, you know, and again, we really didn't think we'd accomplish that much, thought we were still struggling, but, you know, Rhonda was that cheerleader there telling us, oh my land, I can't, you know, this is great, this is wonderful. And so it renewed our energy and enthusiasm in the whole project too. So.
Yeah, from what I hear you say, you know, basically what you've been doing is you've been building value. And value is really something of absolutely premium importance at the moment. I mean, as the folks on the call probably realize, we're moving into a new value-based era in healthcare. And the real challenges for small rural hospitals, and I think it's pretty much a consensus on this, is how do we build that value? How do we document it? How do we show it, et cetera? So from what I'm hearing you say, and let's take a look at the balanced scorecard in that regard. There are four different sectors to it. Part of it deals with operations and quality. And basically, you've designed strategies to improve your quality, to document your quality, et cetera. Part of it really looks at the staff itself. We're going to talk a little bit more about that because I find it really fascinating what you folks have been doing in terms of internal communication, staff retention, et cetera, it's going to be more and more difficult to recruit physicians. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about that as well. But in essence, you're building a stable and a dynamic staff, customer-focused, et cetera. A third area has to do with the community. And so what I've been hearing is that we've actually been doing work in the community, trying to keep folks locally to stay here, to, you know, give us high scores and staffs in patient satisfaction, et cetera. And then the final area, and this would one that you really relate to, Kara, and Tom for that matter, is financial outcomes. And if you do the other three, the concept is in the balanced scorecard, the fourth one kind of falls into alignment, that the financial improvement comes when you do really good processes, when you have a really engaged staff, when you're communicating with your customers and your community, then the financial stuff will align as well. So again, I picked up that as a part of this the strategy. And the good thing about using the balanced scorecard is you're ensuring using a strategy map or as you put your strategic plan in place that you're covering those extremely key areas. I'd like to talk a little bit now about the staff and what you did with that. I know that it mentioned here in the notes that Mary Rooney Sheehan had come in and worked with you on leadership, but could you folks tell us a little bit about what changed in your staff? Did communication get better? And kind of what was the impact of that?
Oh, I'd say the communication took a noticeable jump after the session. I say it comes down, people began to understand each other a little better. You know, we've got folks that live around the area, and some of their interaction with people is only here, and you don't really get to know people quite as well. And I think the work we did with Mary helped them understand themselves and those that they work with, and not just the other managers, but even their staff, a little better as time went on. I mean, we've had really good luck here. We have almost no turnover. I'll give the board a credit. A number of years ago, they opened up educational support for people that wanted to go back to school to become RNs, LPNs, lab techs, x-ray techs. And I think it was 8 or 9 years ago, we eliminated the use of agency staff altogether in the organization. And we haven't had a vacancy come up that, you know, particularly in the clinical areas that we've not been able to fill internally with somebody completing schooling. Every year, we've got a couple of more staff that are you know, moving in, becoming RNs, which for us right now is a little bit of a key because we've got some other individuals who are moving towards retirement and talking about what their target dates are. And we're able to grow people internally, you know, people that want to live here, which is another huge challenge. Along that line, we've just a few weeks ago signed a young man who's from here in the area. In fact, his father works for the hospital. He's applying to med school and hopes to get started next year and be back here in 2021, which sounds like forever, but it'll be here before anybody here realizes it. And I think that's that type of thing has been evolving here, and I think the recent work between Scott and Mary really opened folks' eyes and thoughts up a little bit more in terms of, you know, the type of talent that's here and what we can do with the resources we've got here for the community. I mean, there are things we'll never do, and we'll have to partner, and our biggest thing is, it's like any of us in rural, we do a number of things probably better than they do at the bigger places. And for the things we can't do, we'll get you to the next, you know, point of care as quickly as we can in the best shape we can to give you the best chance to, you know, regain your quality of life.
And I think the biggest message that we gave our staff, whether we were doing, you know, the employee surveys, we've even done a management communication survey here recently, is just let them know, the employees, that their voices are heard. If they've got recommendations or they've got ideas, that we will listen and not discourage that open communication, and we'll take action off of it on what we can. And I think that's, we've seen a lot of growth in that. Employees are opening up more, sharing their ideas, and as we're taking action on them, it's showing that we're serious about what we're preaching. You know, it is their hospital. It's the leadership team. It's the staff. It's their hospital, and our future is in their hands. It takes a team, and that's been the message that we've been trying to convey to them.
I understand that you implemented a new evaluation process. Could you talk a little bit about that? I mean, how did it change
employees? Well, we took a process that was more, I guess the best way to describe it is, if you were breathing when you crossed the threshold, that was a satisfactory performance, and started to really get into the various areas that relate to individual performance in job duties, what I'll call good citizenship in the organization. And we've been in that since the beginning of this year, and it is still a work in progress. There have been changes made. I think people are beginning to understand that it is a tool designed to help people grow. And if there's an area that could be stronger, you know, how do we work with that person to make that area that is not as strong as some of the others, stronger tool in their arsenal going forward? And it's, you know, that process has been something that, you know, the leadership team, which meets on a regular basis, has been going over, and Kara's been more involved with that directly than I have, and I'll let her kind of pick it up from there.
Well, no, I guess work in progress would be, that's true, but it has been a struggle. It's had its challenges, but it is all, the end product's going to be much better. You know, we're making that progress, and it has been a challenge because any change is uncomfortable, and, you know, just getting away from that, yes, I'm here, and I show up, and I get the highest merit percentage that's available, and trying to get that down to where there's an average and a norm of what expectations are, and then really being able to justify where people are going above and beyond. And that has been a challenge, both on the leadership team, you know, because, you know, we'll admit, we're still not, as a leadership team, 100% all in agreement that we're in the right direction. But collectively, the majority of us know that it you know, we're headed on the right track. But and even employees that will get an eval, they'll look at it, and they might blow up one day and say, oh, this wasn't what I expected. But then when they go back and really think about it and look at the good comments that the managers made of their job duties and saying, well, you know, this really isn't a bad process, and they are recognizing what I'm doing. So it's just taking a while, and you know, we'll have new changes for next year, and we'll probably have some hiccups there. But maybe after, you know, a couple, 3 years, you know, this is a much better improved process, and it'll take us a little bit to work out all the kinks, but we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I think what we're going through with this is a little bit of a microcosm when you look at all the other changes that are coming along. And as Kara said, change never goes well. And I've been in rural for a long, long time, and maybe it's just my experience there. Change seems to come harder in rural areas because everybody's so close to each other. But once people get over the initial shock of the change and begin to look at, you know, what that long-term goal is out of the changes we're trying to bring in here, I think we're seeing a sense of rallying around, you know, the need to keep evolving for the future. If we want to survive and be here to serve the community, both from the standpoint of healthcare and the economic significance of, you know, the hospital as a local employer, it goes back to the old stories, you know, if you stand still, everybody's going to go running past you, and you'll wonder, you know, where everybody went pretty quickly. And that's not where you want to be in today's environment at all.
Yeah, and one good thing that came, we just recently completed a leadership communication survey with the employees, and we had very favorable results in it. Yeah, there's always room for improvement, and we took those areas and shared them, you know, individually with the managers, what their results were, but then also collectively what we saw as recurring themes. And really, it could, you know, the survey results could have been a lot worse, especially understanding, you know, the struggle we went with this new eval process and the employees, you know, difficulty with that process. But, you know, when we actually got the results, like, this, it really isn't just too bad. And so it helps, you know that we're at least, you know, working in that right direction, and we're currently working on conducting another employee culture survey here before the end of this year to compare to those results that we had right when before Scott came out. And so we're anxious to see that, you know, what we've accomplished on from their perspective. So.
And in essence, the research shows that the best way to deal with change is to really work on the communication within the organization, to get your staff basically willing to ask hard questions. The communication piece is one of the most crucial pieces if you're going to survive change and do well in change as well. So that's a very impressive piece here. A second piece of research that I'm aware of is that when patients assess quality, a huge part of their assessment score is the communication between the staff itself. Did the staff seem to work as a team? So I just want to cite something, I have here in the notes that Pinckneyville Community Hospital was recognized by Becker's Clinical Quality Infection Control in 2012 as one of the top 61 hospitals. I think, in fact, it came in 28th of all the hospitals in the country in terms of nurses always communicating well. So I think you folks are, I know you don't want to brag, but I think you're being modest about what an impressive accomplishment this is. And it's so typical that hospitals don't really recognize, you know, how extraordinary they are, because we're always, the ones that are into self-improvement are always looking at where they need to improve. But it is good to have folks like Scott and Mary to be able to come in to kind of pat them on the back and give them the credit they deserve. Scott, let's talk a little bit about the consultation experience. So talk a little bit about how this all evolved. How did you coordinate what you were doing with Mary? And talk us through the consultation.
I think, Terry, working with Bethany and RHPI in terms of the initial call and understanding what it was we were going to achieve kind of strategically. And we agreed up front, it was, you know, we do a market assessment, 2 days of interviews, a cultural assessment, develop a 3-year plan, and then a retreat to share the results with the board. But in addition, the other thing that Tom and Kara Jo did is we did an all-day strategy execution workshop. So I think the most important thing or impressive thing for me was the way that Tom worked with the board of trustees. And in our last retreat in May, I did a half day session with the board, invited the department directors in. They presented some of the initiatives. The board stayed, and so the communication was really, really crisp. So I think from a advisory perspective, the kind of neat thing is that Pinckneyville, the leadership, Tom, Kara Jo, the board, department directors were not only open to looking at a set of analytics that would shed some light on their potential or possible future, but the real pleasure for me was going back 2 years later, because I began in 2011. They invited me back in May of 2013 for this all-day retreat. But they just did a lot of heavy lifting. They did some real work. They paid attention to the analytics and the measurement and figured out, you know, how they can achieve the best outcomes for their patients and the in the community. So my work was relatively easy compared to what they had done. I'll also just mention that Tom talked about tough decisions. There are, you know, many, many small community hospitals that have to make some tough decisions. And prior to my arrival, they had to do that to make sure that the hospital would not only sustain itself, but also thrive. So that's what leadership is about, too. But again, the organization and the employees and the board and the executive team, they did the heavy lifting and the hard work.
Scott, the hospital collects a ton of data and information. Every rural hospital is pretty much compelled to do so. Talk a little bit about what's the difference between all that information they're collecting and the kind of analytics. How do we sort through the ton of information and actually produce measures that are going to be meaningful, and how do we communicate them?
They initially, we looked at four categories for the scorecard. One was, the four categories were quality and customer service, people, infrastructure, technology, growth and provider relationships, and financial health. And what they were looking at initially in terms of quality and customer service was to achieve the top 10 percentile for the CMS core measures. And you heard some of the recognition, achieved 95th percentile in terms of all patient satisfaction scores, 100% of the selected patient safety goals. In the people, infrastructure, technology, they were looking at maintaining turnover less than 10% for 2012. It was significantly less, as they've reported. They were looking at a employee survey return rate of 75%. On the growth and provider side, they we're looking at inpatient market share increases over 2012, percent of net revenue growth, and you heard from Tom and Kara Jo that they were $500,000 over their approved budget. But they basically had these four strategic themes, and within each of these themes, they had very succinctly four ways of kind of measuring the most important things. So, I mean, they were just very, very focused. Terry, we know that we can go into small community hospitals and you can find pages of pages of measurement, and it's frustrating for the executive team and board and medical staff leadership. But at Pinckneyville, what they did is get it down to the most important measurements.
Right, and then they focused on them. Did they incorporate those measures into the balanced scorecard and in the strategy, Matt, Scott?
Yep, they did early on in the process. And I think the fact that what you just heard from Tom and Kara Jo in terms of focusing on the analytics and the measurement, you can see the achievements, the things that they achieved over the last 3 years.
Yeah, and getting this core set of measures out there, just from our experience here working at the National Rural Health Resource Center, we've discovered when you focus on those most important measures, you have a huge momentum in terms of actually improving them. It almost sounds too simplistic, but it's where you focus your energy and attention where you're going to really see the results. And so it's sorting through this ton of data and information, arriving at those most important things that to be measured, and then putting them into a scorecard. Again, you don't need an MBA from Harvard Business School to use the balanced scorecard. There are simple and very effective ways to use it, and Pinckneyville has obviously been an example of how a small hospital can do this very successfully. Moving forward, I want to talk a little bit in the time remaining in terms of what have you learned on this? You've talked a good deal about the outcomes here, but what were the lessons learned? If we have a lot of hospitals on the phone that would be kind of interested, what is kind of the bottom line of what we have learned in our experience in Pinckneyville? Tom, we'll start with you.
Well, I think one of the things, we probably should have started it sooner. It's easy to say in hindsight, but I think the thing that's come out of this is, as this organization goes forward, for it to really be, to sustain it, it has to be an organizational effort. It has to be everybody involved with it, regardless of title or where you sit. And, you know, everybody understanding that their role in this has an impact on the future and the sustainability of the hospital and its ability to serve the community. And I think that to me is one of the things, and, you know, I'm not that far away from retiring. And one of the things that I wanted to see here was an organization that would continue, you know, holding its future mission in everybody's heart, so to speak, so that, you know, 10, 15 years from now or further, that there is still the presence here. What it exactly looks like, who knows for sure at this point, but that there is a, you know, a vibrant local source for healthcare and a source of information and effort to, you know, improve the community health going forward. You know, we're not that dissimilar from other rural areas with, you know, the aging population, the young folks moving away, and having to put ourselves in a position, you know, so that the community benefits from our presence. And if they benefit, we'll do fine going forward.
And as far as, like you were saying, that balanced scorecard and how each of the four categories, and they really are interlaced and connect together. And what I think we've learned is, yeah, you need to focus on the financial thing, but performance, but that's more the end result. It's really the investment you put into your staff, the culture, the patient experience, the quality, and that's going to drive the financial performance. So you need the focusing in those areas, I think, is really what I think we've collectively learned here, is changing that focus to that area and how we're trying to take that and sustain it into the future is really invest more into that. And we're going to be doing more expanded values training with our staff going forward. And we've even developed a PCH Hospital Pride program that celebrates, you know, being a hospital employee, why we love to work here, what's wonderful about the services that we provide our community. And so that PCH Pride program really tries to encapsulate everything that we're trying to do, both for our staff, our patients, and our community, and really trying to roll that out. So, you know, we're planning on this next year investing even more in just the values concept amongst our staff so we can continue that growth and improvement.
And if you think you'd change hasn't happened, that was a CFO talking to you. Who's talking about other than the bottom line.
Spending money.
I mean, yeah, this is to me a classic example, and I've worked with a lot of CFOs in my life, and I've only had two in 44 years that really were into the pieces that make the financials run well, and Kara is certainly one of those.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that too as well, Tom. And that's basically, we have to translate this to different people. For nurses, they're going to be looking at communication. I'm talking about balanced scorecard and leadership in that regard. They're going to be looking for clinical outcomes. Docs are going to be doing the same thing. If you can translate this in such a way that part of the message is that we have to get all the parts together and get them right. And for the CFO, it's going to be financial improvement. And it is. I've just seen many cases where the CFO gets the fact that a lot of the things we're doing it may not be directly. We have to spend money to do the training and the education, but it's going to show up in the bottom line downstream. And so we need to engage, you know, certainly the financial people, the clinical people, et cetera, along the way. So this is just a great example, and it's good to have Kara on the phone to be talking about it from that perspective. Is there anything that RHBI could do to improve the process, Tom or Kara? Is there something? We're always in an improvement mode as well, and even though we're proud of our product, again, we're always trying to do better.
I'd say is in the front end of this, as we were starting to look, you know, we had several people that we could choose among to help us with this project we were looking to get into. And I think Scott just jumped out at us I was aware of Scott from some prior experiences as well. And when his name popped up in the list, he just, after we talked about it internally, seemed like he was the player who would fit what we were doing. And it was nice to be able to look at a group of individuals that RHPI had worked with in the past to get an idea of where each of them was coming from with what they were doing in the market at the time, so that we had the ability to identify who we thought would be the best individual to help us make this next jump, rather than muddling along to try and accelerate the process of what we were doing. And the support we've gotten out of RHPI, and not just the financial piece of it, but the access to the other resources, and what you guys do with putting the different webinars on from time to time have been a real benefit to us, I know.
And I think the message that you guys are putting out there through RHPI about the importance of the rural hospital presence to the local communities. And, you know, as Mr. Hudgens commented earlier, if we're supposed to get out there and they're expecting hospitals to help improve population health management and that's only going to be done locally within the communities, and the small rural and critical access hospitals are going to be the ones leading that way out there in their own communities. And we're trying to do just that, you know, through different programs we're doing, and starting with employee wellness committees, and trying to start internally improving the health and wellness and well-being of our staff, and then growing that through our community education program. So, you know, with RHPI, just getting that message out there on behalf of rural hospitals like us, and then finding a way to help support us in endeavors like that would be tremendously helpful.
Thanks for those comments. Does anybody have any questions? If you do, you can hit star 2. I want to make sure. Or if you do have the questions, you could send them to Leslie, and we'll pass them on to the speakers as well. Anybody quick? Anybody have a question? Okay, then we have just a few minutes left. And Scott, I'm going to give you kind of the last word here on this. You know, as you look at what are lessons learned, I assume if you're like me, we always learn things when we go into rural hospitals. Just give us a couple minutes of kind of what did you learn? What are the lessons that you've learned working with hospitals, particularly this one over the last months, for example?
I walked away. Terry and Tom and Kara Joe, was probably six things. And this is, I had worked with them over kind of a 24 to 36 month period of time. But, you know, and those six things are, number one, leadership and governance is important. Two, you know, what you heard Kara Joe talk about and Tom, people are important. And the fact that they looked at their current culture, said we need to make some changes, recognizes the fact that people are very important. You know, I walked away learning from them that, you know, they talked about it's really important to have outstanding quality and safety programs, and they got recognized more recently. Four, they said you've got to have loyal and satisfied patients, and so they began to measure satisfaction. Five is you heard about their financial performance, but I think it's given in this day and age that you've got to have a strong balance sheet and an income statement. And six, you've got to have a strategy, and you've got to know how to execute that. And I think the fact that they took the time to spend, you know, all the time with the boards on their board of trustees on the interviews and have a full day strategy execution workshop, that recognition was not only do we have to have a strategy, but we have to know how to execute it. So I always learn from my clients, and those are the six things that I walked away from this engagement.
Terrific. We have run out of time. I want to thank our speakers and, again, congratulate them on really good work. Scott, you consistently do extraordinary work in the field, and Tom and Kara, I would be really proud of what you folks have accomplished. We hold these performance management group calls on a periodic basis. Leslie, do we have a webinar coming up? Or
this was the last call of this project year, so we'll be starting another series of webinars and another performance management group call in November.
Okay. So, and again, check the RHPI website or just let Leslie know if you have questions. I think we're also taking applications, aren't we?
Yes. So if you would like to fill out an application for a project consultation project for the next program year, you can find the application on our website, and we'll be accepting applications through the end of this week, through September 30th. So please fill out an application if you're interested in doing a project like this.
And thank you, everyone, and goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.